Hey everyone, this is Rob Motti. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Faith on a Field Show. If you want to hear any of our previous episodes, please check out our website, faithonafieldshow.com. You can also subscribe on every major podcast channel like Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, and TuneIn. Please like, share, and leave a review so others can find out about the show. We appreciate your support, and here is this week's episode presented by Cairn University. Welcome to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University on 610 ESPN Philadelphia on 107.5 Alive. I'm Rob Motti with Remy Motti. Our guests this week are Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Auden Tate and Dave Urban from Missionary Athletes International and his friend Joe Connor from Elam Ministries. Those interviews are coming up, but this week I want to talk about a subject that's been on my heart for a while. It's something that we've talked about in different ways over the course of the 3+ years that we've done Faith on the Field Show, and it may be a topic that hits some people hard, but I always feel like if you say what people want to hear, that'll help you earn popularity, but it's far more important to say what people need to hear.
Yes.
And what we're going to discuss today is putting Christ back into Christianity.
Yeah.
Not back into Christmas, which we hear all around Christmas time, because Christians like to fight battles for no apparent reason, and they pick the wrong battles all the time. No, let's put Christ actually back into Christianity. Right. See, the essence of being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, is to live like Jesus lived, to love like Jesus loves, to forgive like Jesus forgives, to care for others, to show compassion, to be kind, to have a heart like Christ. Yet what I'm seeing in today's world, especially this year, in an election year, in this country, we're seeing where political views have polluted Christian hearts. And too many Christians are putting politics ahead of Christ. And I see Christians who demean others because they have opposing political views. There's arguing, there's fighting, there's name-calling. It is downright nasty, despicable, and disgusting on social media. It's awful, and it is the opposite of having a Christ-like heart.
Right.
So I want to tell you, regardless of your political affiliation, I don't care which party you stand for or you side with, and we make no political, we don't discuss politics here. We don't talk about that on this show. I have no political party affiliation. My affiliation and my loyalty lies with Jesus Christ. So if you profess to be a Christian, Jesus is greater than the government. Our loyalty to Christ should always be number one, and our loyalty to Christ must take precedence over our political party loyalty. So what does it mean to put Christ back into Christianity? You know what it means? It means to love God. It means to love your neighbor as yourself, even if your neighbor and you have differing views on politics. Even if your neighbor and yourself can't get along on anything else, if you're a Christian, you love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we are. That's the great, the second greatest command that Jesus gave us. He said, love God with all your heart and soul. Love your neighbor as I have loved you. Forgive, right? He talks about forgiving. Christ talks about forgiving. How many times? 70 times 7, all that. We have to forgive others. It is difficult at times. I know it's hard. It's hard to do all the time.
It is.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's hard.
Absolutely.
How often you and I have gotten better at forgiving each other for stupid little arguments within the course of the day.
Yes. Yes. We make it kind of like we fight or argue and then we go, oh, we did good this time.
Because it was, it's stupid.
Yeah,
it it's
really
division.
Is yeah.
And what else does it mean to put Christ back into Christianity? It means whoever is without sin cast the first stone. Now, I somebody out there will be listening to this and say, well, aren't you judging us? I'm sorry. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing, what I'm observing. And I'm observing where too many Christians right now are putting their political party affiliation and their political views mm-hmm. ahead of their loyalty to Christ, and they are not acting civil. They mm-hmm. are not treating people with a Christ-like heart.
Right.
What else does it say about being a Christian? Whatever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me. So I see where Christianity has become, rather than spreading the love of Christ, picking and choosing certain battles and living on those battles and fighting for those and prioritizing certain things mm-hmm. over others. It's not about prioritizing one controversial topic, like being anti-abortion, mm-hmm. over another controversial topic, the death penalty. That's not what it's all about, picking and choosing and fighting battles.
Right.
Christianity, the essence of it is being a follower of Christ and having a Christ-like heart. So how can we profess to be Christians? How can we stand there? Man, this is what kills me, and I see it on social media, and I'll see someone, and I'm not going to call out any specific former athletes. Mm-hmm. Not going to go there. But you'll look at their social media and it says believer, mm-hmm. God, family, country, all that stuff, right? Yet you're over there name-calling, F-bombing, mm-hmm. saying all these things to people with an opposing political view over politics.
Well, because politics gets you heated up sometimes. That's the problem.
It causes division,
and it causes people to just act crazy sometimes because you get so heated over something that you yourself don't necessarily have a whole lot of say over it. You just say your opinion, but that's about it. You guys, we gotta all understand that, yes, you voted for these people, so let them make the decisions. You voted for them, correct? You vote, so, all right, so you casted your vote, you're done. So you judging someone else or you picking fights on social media, right. How is that going to help anybody? If you have a problem with a political view or something, just write a letter to that person. Do something that's useful. But being on social media and putting all this hate out there, putting all the views out there, everybody putting a view out there.
Everybody's got a take.
Who cares about your view? You know what I mean?
Everybody's got an opinion.
Like, I'm sorry, but you're not in office. Like, I don't care about your viewpoint because it's not going to change my life. You know what I'm saying? That's why I never say anything about social media on politics. I just don't get into it because it doesn't matter what your viewpoint is, you know?
You're right.
If you want to make a change, make an actual change. Write a letter, make a phone call to whoever's in office and make a difference in the community that you're in. But being on social media and acting like you're the head of your group of your friends and be like the boss, it's not gonna change anything.
But nothing good comes out of nasty
and the
debates,
arguing, so annoying,
name calling. Nothing good comes out of that. The only thing that comes out of that is hypocrisy. And I'll tell you, so many people will then look at someone who acts in that manner and go, oh, but they're professing to be a Christian.
And then want to
lump in every Christian mm-hmm. with that particular person. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then Christianity is looked upon as a hypocritical faith because we have people who will go to battle and fight and argue and name call and be vile and nasty over political views. And then sometimes this extends beyond politics. Sometimes it's in sports.
Don't go far. It's even in Christianity. Christians against Christians about theology.
Right? God forbid.
Jeez.
You're a fan of a team. And then here you have like someone who is professing their faith and you're sitting in church and then you're raising your kid to be a fan of this team and mm-hmm. you have so much hate in your heart for another team.
Right.
For another team. Like, why?
And now that it's all just, we're all sitting at home. And
nobody's even playing
like,
for 4 months.
So what what are you going to do now?
I don't understand. Like, my career is sports. My mm-hmm. career is a sports journalist. And mm-hmm. I have, and I also do sports broadcasting and hosting talk shows and mm-hmm. I don't have hate in my heart for any sports like whatsoever. It blows my mind how we can allow division to separate us from the heart of Christ. Mm-hmm. And there are too many times where we walk away from the core, the essence, what it is Christianity is all about, and we make it about us, and we make it about, yeah, I want to be right, I want my way, and politics is nasty.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't trust anyone in politics. I don't. And that's why I say, like, my affiliation lies with Christ, because I answer to God.
Yeah, they're human too. They're all humans. We all make mistakes. So
that's
We have voted for people to be in office, but in reality, you need to pray for these people to make the right decisions, and you pray that God will lead them. Because sometimes they make mistakes too, as we all make mistakes.
Oftentimes they do.
And oftentimes too, because you know what? There's a lot of things. There's a lot of variables there.
It's hard to believe a lot.
And there's a lot of. It's hard to believe because there's also greed. You know, is self motivation. There is there's a lot of things.
There's so many agendas.
There's so many agendas.
That you don't know who to believe.
Yeah, you never know.
Even in the media.
Yeah. So. See, I'm one of those people that when I read something, I don't believe it right away. I go, okay, let's think about this critically. Let's actually do some research. Let's do some background checks on this. Let's not believe everything we read. And then we decide for ourselves what we want to believe. And then before we put it out there, let's all try this. Before we try to put something out there for our friends to read, how about we pray about it first? And see where God leads us. Let's see what the Holy Spirit just shows us about particular situations, you know?
Let's look at COVID-19.
Oh.
It has become so politicized. It's become so politicized to where, one, you don't know the information that you're digesting, whether it's believable,
right,
or if there's an agenda attached to it.
Right. You never
because
know.
So much has changed about this virus just from the beginning, right? At first you heard you have to disinfect everything you touch.
The groceries, that was
the
a nightmare.
Doorknobs, mm-hmm. the groceries, mm-hmm. whatever you touch, you have to disinfect. Then we hear, well, no, it's not transmittable that way. And it's constantly changing and evolving. Now you can say they're still learning on the fly because they don't know everything. It's a very complex virus.
Right.
They don't know. They're learning. They're trying to give us the information. But when you have media outlets that are so politically driven, you have one side and then you have another.
Yeah.
And now you've taken a deadly virus and you've politicized it in an election year to where people will say, if you wear a mask, you're pro one party. And if you don't wear a mask, you're anti that party.
This mask which is
listen,
crazy.
To me, that's idiotic because. Right. You wear a mask because you're supposed to. You take precautions because you're supposed to. If I can go in somewhere without a mask on, more than likely, because it bothers me, I'm going to go in without it. But if it tells me to wear it, I'm going to go in and wear it. I'm not going to
wear it in a grocery store.
Yeah, I'm not going to make a political stink about it.
5 minutes and be out. Right. It's not a big deal.
But when you see politics invade a virus.
It's too much. It's exhausting. You know, life is becoming too exhausting. And it's because we're getting way too much information all at once. I mean, you can hold your phone for 5 minutes and you are overwhelmed from virus to politics to the economy to loss of jobs to health issues to money issues. You are overwhelmed within 5 minutes. That's why I don't post much anymore. I don't even like look at it that much anymore. It's because it gets me too overwhelmed. And I'm just like, I don't care to put my focus there anymore. I don't care to do that.
Hate and negativity.
I care to put my focus on the books I'm reading and the Bible and my prayer and even like other things that I'm reading right now. I'm just focused on that. Why? Because I choose to. You always have a choice in life, what you choose to, and what you feed will feed you. You know what I mean? So if you're feeding yourself that, well, that's what you're going to get full on. You're going to get full on negativity and hate, and that's going to fill your heart, and it's going to end up spilling over on everything. So every time Facebook sucks you in or social media sucks you in, suck yourself out and say, you know what, I'm choosing to focus on something else. And if you're reading a post from somewhere, that's what I do. If I'm reading a post and the post got me like all heated up, I immediately get out. I get out. I don't even like, I don't allow myself to react to it. I just say, whoop, I'm out. I'm done. I refuse to react to this post even internally because I don't want my attention to be there. I don't want my life to go that way. I want my attention to be on positive things. And sometimes you tell me like, why don't you want to just know what's going on? I don't. Mm. I don't, because in this moment, it doesn't help me. In this moment, it doesn't take me to a higher level. It doesn't take my attention to like, you know, being on a God or being on my family or being on my, like my kids. Like I want my attention to be on the things that matter to me the most. And I understand that this sometimes be like you're in a bubble or something and I'm not in a bubble. It's just that this stuff hits me different.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. But I personally, these things hit me different. It gets me way too overwhelmed and I get too emotional. And then it's too much for me to handle. So I try to get my attention back on Christ, back on my family, and back on what I can control. Because it's actually very important, if you're spiraling out of control, to find something that you can control.
Right.
And control that. So if you can control, like, cleaning your house, for example, because that gets you in a happier mood, do that. If you can control making a meal, do that. That's in your control. So, and if you can control that, then do it. So you don't spiral out of control. Because we're living in a time right now where everything is out of control.
A lot of stuff spiraling out
of control. So if you're going to put yourself on social media and read that stuff, and it's going to make you even like really just go crazy, why would you do that to yourself? Yeah. Just get your attention back on Christ. Putting Christ back in everything will really help.
That's how you put Christ back into Christianity.
Right.
Christ in the center of everything. Right. So when someone annoys you with their political view, think about it from this perspective before you fire off a nasty response that makes Christians look bad. Right. Before you do that, before you fire off something nasty, some name calling, disgusting, vile, whatever you want to say, think about it. How am I as a believer? How am I as a Christian living like Jesus lived?
Right.
How am I showing others, even those who I disagree with, how am I showing them the love of Christ? You know, Jesus did not, he went into and went up against the religious leaders. Right. He went up against them and he said, you put on a great show, but where is your heart? Right. Exactly. So being a Christian isn't about putting on a great show. It's not about going to church and leaving Christ there. It's not about putting X amount of money into the church ministry and then not living like Christ. Yes, all of those things are necessary, important, and they help the body of Christ grow. But the core of it is having his heart. Living like he lived, loving, compassion, forgiveness, understanding. I don't see a lot of understanding. And sometimes everything's become all about politics, so much about politics that we cannot allow the loyalty to the political party and to politics be greater and more important than our loyalty should lie with Jesus Christ. If we are believers, if we are Christians, that's where it should lie with. Because politicians, they're going to come and go. Mm-hmm. They're going to come and go. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. And that's who we answer to. So when it's all said and done, and you want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, think about it. Think about it every time you're about to get into a heated political debate. Let's put Christ back into Christianity. Let's not allow politics to be so nasty that they divide us and that they take us away from the heart of Jesus Christ. Up next, you're going to hear from Auden Tate. You are listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University on 610 ESPN Philly and 107.5 Alive. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you missed any of our past episodes, go to faithonthefieldshow.com. You can find every show and listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Faith on the Field. And if you sign up for our weekly email list, we will send you our episode right to your inbox, and we love to read your messages. They're often very encouraging, so we appreciate those. We appreciate you sharing out our episodes and telling anyone and everyone about Faith on the Field. So keep on sending those positive messages. We really appreciate it, and keep on telling your friends about Faith on the Field. Make sure you also follow us on all social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, at Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Motti on all platforms, and Kyle is at Kyle J. Horner. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. You can also go to my YouTube channel, Rob Motti, and you can listen to some of my recent messages. Our first guest this week is Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Auden Tate. Auden was a seventh-round pick out of Florida State in 2018. He didn't play much as a rookie, but last season he started 10 games. He had 40 catches for 575 yards. I caught up with Auden in Miami during Super Bowl week, and here is that conversation. And it's a pleasure to get you on here because, for one, I love what you stand for. But for two, you went from being a seventh-round pick, right?
Yes, sir.
To being a primary weapon for the Cincinnati Bengals this year. How did that, you know, you had to rise through some tough times where you don't know. Mm-hmm. You go in as a seventh-round pick, you don't know if you're going to make the team.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't know. You don't have a guaranteed contract. None of that stuff. So how did you get through that time and then really overcome that and just rise to where you became one of the go-to guys?
Just taking advantage of every opportunity, you know, that was given my way, you know. Like this past year, you know, AJ got hurt, which was very unfortunate because he's like a big brother, but it's an opportunity for me to kind of step up and show what I could do. So it was just blessings in disguise.
What do you think of the future with the Cincinnati Bengals? And looks like you may have an opportunity to get a guy in there, quarterback Joe Burrow with the number one pick. Do you know Joe? Have you had a chance to see his game? And and what do you think if he was to be the guy that who's throwing to you for the next decade or so?
Yeah. I don't know him, but yeah, I definitely watched a lot of his games this year. He's, you know, very impressive. You can tell he's a dog. He played with fire. So, you know, if that's the route they go, you know, I'm all with it. You know, we got a lot of pieces. As, you know, a lot of people can see, you know, I think, you know, we're going to shock a lot of people next year.
At the Super Bowl in Miami, like, hanging out, having fun, soaking in the atmosphere, getting to see what it's like in case the Bengals make this trip. What are you into?
Oh, yeah, just definitely, you know, soaking it all in, you know. This is good to be back in Florida, period, you know, after being in Cincinnati. So, you know, just having fun.
It's being no down fun in Miami. That cold.
What? Yes, Lord. I'm glad to be down here.
Well, tell me about this, Auden, because I'm looking at your Twitter and I see thankful for the Lord's blessings. Thank the Lord for the blessings, right? That's a beautiful thing to say, man. What does that mean to you?
You know, just thank the Lord for the blessings. You know, every day, every moment, you know, is not promised. You know, as you can see with the Kobe Bryant incident,
it's
crazy. You know, you're in positions like this, you feel invincible. You feel like you got everything going for you. You know, it could just get taken away like that. So, you know, faith has always been big for me. My pops is a pastor, so it was
where
instilled
at?
In me. Force of Life in Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know what? I spent spring training in that area. In St. Pete Beach, Clearwater.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Near a beach area. So maybe I'll stop by because I'm looking for somewhere to go. I'll go stop and see your dad.
Oh, definitely. You won't be disappointed.
All right. Yes, I appreciate that. So when he ingrains that in you at a young age, sometimes like being a PK, right, a preacher's kid, you can rebel. You can go a different direction. Yeah. What enabled you to follow your dad's faith and then make it your own?
He didn't really force it on me, which is a big thing. You know, you don't see a lot of PKs, a lot of passes where they kids, they force it on them and try to drive it on them. He didn't really force it on me, but everything that he taught kind of stuck. Morals, principles kind of stuck. So, you know, even when I'm doing stuff, you know, I kind of hear stuff in my little conscience. So, you know, he was just good about letting me find my way but still, you know, teaching me at the same time.
Well, Auden, appreciate your time, man. Yes, thank you so much. Appreciate God bless.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That was Bengals wide receiver Auden Tate. We have two special guests who are doing great work in ministry coming up. You are listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University on 610 ESPN Philadelphia and 107.5 Alive. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome, wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Oliver Heating and Cooling, Rick Santella, the Senior Vice President at Morgan Stanley, Restelli Foods Group, Shady Maple, Weather Trends 360, and California Closets. We have two special guests who are involved in amazing ministries. Dave Urban is CEO of Missionary Athletes International, and his friend Joe Connor is the East Coast Regional Director of Elam Ministries. MAI Charlotte office had a professional soccer team for many years, the Charlotte Eagles, and Joe was one of the players. I spoke to both of them about the wonderful work they're doing. Here is that conversation. Dave, first of all, tell me a little bit about your story, how you came to Christ, and how you became involved with Missionary Athletes International.
Yeah, I attended a Christian college just outside Philadelphia at Eastern University, and went to the university and started playing soccer there my freshman year. And I went there thinking I was a Christian. Pretty quickly did I recognize the fact that, you know, the background of some of the other guys was very different from my background. And I pretty quickly recognized the fact that I was not a believer. But it was through a group of guys that were on my team and also our coach that just really share the gospel to me and lived it out in front of me. And it was just so appealing for me. And it was actually through our coach that was coaching our team that that really drew me to the gospel and drew me to Jesus. And I was excited about just accepting the Lord from just watching how this man lived out his life. It was just so powerful for me. It was just so powerful in my mind. I think when I moved to Charlotte about 7 years ago, I got to know the Charlotte Eagles and the work that they do and their vision of using this game of soccer as a vehicle to share the gospel all around the world and also in the four cities that we do by using influential coaches to be able to speak truth and to love on players differently. And I got involved by being a donor first, and then when they were doing a search for the CEO role, I was asked to put my name in and went through the search process and accepted the role about 18 months ago.
Well, tell me some of the work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's exciting. As I said, we have four different offices. We have one in Los Angeles, and it's the Southern California Seahorses. We have the Chicago Eagles, the Charlotte Eagles, obviously here in Charlotte, and then also in High Point, we have a program called Imago Dei. And we do various things, whether it's inner city ministry or living in the communities there. We also take a lot of college teams overseas and where we do mission work and also play high-level soccer games, as well as giving them some ministry training as they go through that experience. We also have high-level teams. Currently, we have USL2 level teams in LA and also in Charlotte. As also, we have the WPSL team in Charlotte for the Lady Eagles. And then we also have some clubs and some different programs like that. On top of that, we also do ministry training where we go overseas and we partner with local churches and denominations as well as other organizations. And we use the game of soccer to train them on how you use the game of soccer to seek heart transformation in the lives of kids. So our desire is to be able to partner with these organizations, partner with these churches and denominations to share with them a vehicle on how we think you can share the gospel and really see life change.
Dave, you said something a little bit earlier in a conversation that kind of struck me a little bit because I know there are other people in a similar position. And you said you went to a Christian university and you considered yourself a Christian, but realized while you were there that you weren't a believer. Can you expand on that a little bit, explain that? Because what was your background in the church and what was it that made you realize that I'm really not there yet?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think as I look back at it, and I'm sure I look back at it differently than what I was actually walking in it at the time. I grew up in a great home and amazing parents. And, you know, we would go to church. When I was little, we'd go to church, you know, most weeks. And as I got older, you know, I started playing, you know, higher level soccer and things like that. So there were some games on Sundays. But we would go to church basically every Christmas Eve, and that was about it. Mm-hmm. But I also went to Lower Merion High School, which, you know, had a high Jewish population, a high Catholic population. And I would have probably defined myself by who I knew I wasn't and who I necessarily was. I knew I didn't have a bar mitzvah. I knew I didn't go to mass or go to confirmation. So I assumed that I was a Christian because I guess the difference is those different pieces. And it was through that when I went to the Christian college, I thought it was natural for me to go there. I believed in Jesus, but I didn't have any idea what a day-to-day walk with Christ was.
It's something that I feel like, Dave, a lot of times when you're around other believers, there's so much that you get to, their influence on you is so strong. And I think that's what we're called to do. And I love what you guys are doing with your mission because it is so needed. It's so needed, especially at the times that we're living in right now. If anyone wants to contribute, to donate, to be a part of Missionary Athletes International, just to see the work that you're doing and to reach out and try and help out, how can they do that?
Yeah, I appreciate that. We are, our website is Missionary Athletes International. It's maisoccer.com. Mm-hmm. And then there's different opportunities to give and to learn more a little bit about the mission and our values, our vision, our promise. Again, our mission is to glorify God and see lives transformed by sharing the message of Jesus through the global environment of soccer. And it's my role and the privilege it is to be able to go to these different places and just share, hey, if you think that this vehicle will work in your context, then we would love to be able to give this to you. So this past year alone for me, for the first 18 months, I've been in Thailand and Bangladesh and Turkey and Germany and you know, numerous other places. But this upcoming year, we're planning on being 16 to 18 countries and continuing those relationships with those different countries and denominations and church leaders.
Where are the other three offices in the U.S.? So you have one in Charlotte.
Yep, and we have one in High Point, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. In Southern California, in the Los Angeles area, and Chicago.
And Joe, I want to bring you in here. Tell me a little bit about your background, Joe, and how you grew up, and then how you came to Christ.
Yeah, so I grew up in England, in Manchester, and so I grew up with wonderful parents. We grew up in a Catholic family, but the idea of following Jesus or having a relationship with Jesus was, I'd never heard that conversation growing up. Soccer was our religion. So Manchester is a pretty good place for soccer. And so I come from I might go to and from soccer and football when I get going here. So I grew up in a footballing family. So cousins and granddad were professionals. My dad played semi-professional. So football was my religion. When I was 18, I got cut from a professional team and ended up coming to the States on a soccer scholarship through a friend of a friend. And ended up at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, which is a Christian school. And so I didn't realize how Christian it was when I got there. But, man, I was in for a shock. We had curfews and chapel twice a week. Boys and girls' dorms were separated. You couldn't go out and drink and all that kind of stuff was so foreign for a guy that grew up in England. And so at first I just thought these people were a bit crazy and I didn't like it. But over time I saw the genuine faith and love, especially some of the professors and my coach and other people. And in my second semester, I became a Christian, decided to follow Jesus. And so soccer was put in its real place. I still had a love for soccer, wanted to play, but it was in the right place. It didn't take the place of God. And so as a Christian, I was pursuing a professional soccer career after college, and I got connected with the Charlotte Eagles. And me and my wife, who I married in college, American wife, we moved to Charlotte about 12 years ago now, and started playing with the Charlotte Eagles, doing ministry with them in the inner cities around Charlotte, in the high schools, and just saw how soccer connects people, sports connects people. But I could use my ability to play soccer and to coach, to make friends, to build relationships. And it was just a great avenue to share my faith with as well. I actually went back to England and played for about 6 years back in England. After I finished my playing in England, we moved back to America to be with my wife's family. And I got connected with Elam Ministry, started working with them. I went over to Turkey in the Middle East, where we work with thousands and thousands of Iranian and Afghan refugees, and the church is growing so fast in that part of the world. Jesus is moving in incredible ways. Every day I get these wonderful stories of people from Islamic backgrounds coming to faith. And anyway, I went and I traveled around and I saw all these people, but there was this void with the youth, really. The youth just hadn't had the same experience as their parents. A lot of them were refugees. They were disillusioned with Islam, but they were disillusioned with religion completely, really. And so I just shared with our executive director, David Jegnazar, that I've seen soccer and sport work in incredible ways to reach youth. And so we decided to partner with my old friends at the Eagles, and we started to train up Iranian coaches. And the Lord has just moved greatly through it in such a short time.
How often are you in Turkey?
So I was there in January, mm-hmm. just before the whole lockdowns happened, and I haven't been back since. So I typically go twice a year, but predominantly my role, the best thing I can do for the church in Iran and the church in the Middle East, we're all about equipping nationals. So we train and equip people to lead the church in Iran and beyond. We say beyond because we're in Turkey, parts of Afghanistan, throughout Europe. So the best thing I can do is share their story and work with our partners to get them the training, to get them the scriptures and the materials that they need. And because of, you know, modern technology, I speak to the coaches and some of the pastors in that part of the world quite often. It's easy for me to pick up the phone or to FaceTime somebody and speak to them. So I go to that part of the world about twice a year, sometimes three.
And Dave, you said you do quite a bit of traveling as well. Now, obviously, COVID has impacted the way we all live our lives. How has that impacted the ministry and what you guys are able to do? And I'm sure now, like, as Joe mentioned, with modern technology, we're doing Zoom calls, we're doing Skype, we're doing everything that way. But how has it impacted you guys?
Yeah, it's impacted quite a bit, obviously. I think we're doing the best we can and trying to be creative with our, you know, our youth teams and our inner city ministries and our urban network there. And even our high-level teams, we're still doing Zoom calls and doing discipleship and even skill work and things like that. So we're trying to be creative on the programmatic side of it. The international training for us has really been impacted, and also the tours. A lot of the universities that we are scheduled to take teams over, they all had to be postponed. And, you know, we're looking forward to seeing that, you know, come back again in 2021. Our international training is actually the day before, a couple of days before we were supposed to leave for Bangladesh, where we're going to train, you know, 50 different church leaders there on how to use the game as a ministry tool. We had to postpone that, so we'll be looking to reschedule that in October, I believe. This past year, at least members of our team has been to Turkey three times, sharing the kind of how what the idea around our training is, and working with Elam and Joe, and going there and doing some training, coming back again and doing additional training and seeing how things are progressing. And so we're excited about seeing the borders start to open up and start to be able to take these flights, because it's so amazing to be able to get hands-on experience and to be able to experience all that's going on in Turkey and the ministry that's going on with Elam.
How receptive do you see the people in these Muslim countries as you're bringing forth the gospel to them? How receptive are they?
So I tell people this. So in Iran, I'll speak for Iran and Afghanistan. Turkey's a little bit different, but the population of people we work with are Persian, which is Iran and Afghanistan. So imagine growing up in a very, very religious country. So there's mosques everywhere. You know, you hear the call to prayer all the time, and you say your prayers in school, but you've never been told that there's a God who loves you. Wow. You've never been told about forgiveness. Women have never been told that they're made in the image of God. And so at the same time, people in those countries don't like their government, because they're sick and tired of the authority that they have over them. They don't give them the freedoms that they like. So they're disillusioned with the government and they're disillusioned with Islam, which is what the government stands for. And so when they get introduced to a God who says they love them, they get introduced to a God who offers them forgiveness, and women hear that they're made in the image of God. It is so exciting for them to learn more. Another key thing that really does help us is that Bibles are completely illegal in these countries. And so Bibles and churches are illegal. So it's very attractive, especially for the young people who are disillusioned with Islam and the government, to hear about Jesus and to want to receive a Bible. I just got a message the other day that we were able to get 30,000 New Testaments inside Iran. And so that's one of the things we do, is we distribute Bibles all across the Middle East in the Persian language, and people get these Bibles and they treasure them. And literally, I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of people that say, somebody gave me a gospel and I read it and I gave my life to Christ. And so they're reading the words of Jesus for the very first time, and they're hearing about a God who loves them, and it's so, so attractive to them. Then on the flip side, you have the Islamic government that absolutely hates Christianity and tries to like just squash the spread of it, which they put people in prison. Persecution is very real. But typically what you used to hear about Muslims becoming Christians was they became Christians and then they were kind of rejected by their families. We do see that in Iran, but more often than not now we see one person come to Christ, and then within a few weeks or months, they've led many family members to Christ. So all these house churches are popping up all over the place, and they're very young Christians. So it's very exciting, but the idea of training leaders and equipping people is so, so important at this time in the Iranian church.
Dave, what is, Joe spoke on Iran and Afghanistan, and how about your experience with the Turkish culture and how they're receptive to the gospel being spread there?
You know, it was an amazing experience for me. I've never been into Turkey before, and going into Istanbul and walking around Istanbul and recognizing the fact that there is nobody else that looks like me here.
Wow.
It was an interesting and powerful experience for me. And, you know, the uncomfortableness of that, and, you know, honestly, some of the insecurity, some of the fear of what those things might look like. And It all kind of changed for me when we got the opportunity to go worship at one of the Elam churches, and walking into the top floor of a hotel and starting to go into where the room was going to have everybody together. And I was just witnessing and seeing individuals stand up and just read the word out loud, and to hear it in the Farsi language, where, you know, typically when you hear that language or you see the written word of that, is typically around terrorism, but to hear it and to see their excitement about the word of God was powerful. And then as the worship started and the singing and the praying and the praising the Lord, it just had a huge impact on my life. I don't think I'll ever be the same from it. I think it gave me a love for the global church that I don't even think I had any idea of. To see the brothers and sisters in Christ who have literally given up everything to follow Him. And to be able to go over there and to share with them and to give them anything has been the greatest joy that I've ever experienced as a believer.
That's incredible. You guys are doing incredible, amazing work, God's work, and you're doing it in countries where, wow, it's powerful. It's powerful that you're able to do that and that you're able to go there and equip these people with the word of God and to see them reacting in those ways. Man, it's incredible and truly one of those just really inspiring. And I think as we all look at what we can do and how we can be the light and be the salt and how we can spread the word. And then you hear stories and you hear about missionaries and what you're doing. And I think anyone in our listening audience who's just maybe uncomfortable talking about their faith, because they're so often in this PC culture, people are uncomfortable talking about their faith. I hope it encourages them. I hope it inspires them. Go out there and just talk to your neighbor. You know, you don't have to be like you guys are going into Turkey and Afghanistan and Iran and all that. Hey, just talk to your neighbor. Talk to someone at work. Talk to someone at school. Talk to someone wherever you can. Is there a website, Joe, for Elam Ministries also, if there's any way that people wanted to check it out, take a look, see if they can contribute?
Yeah, you can go on our website, which is elam.com, E-L-A-M, We can't share most of our stories online. We're very well known by the Iranian government and our people that are inside Iran. There's just a lot of security measures, but you can go on there. You can see what we share, and we share some good stories, but there's a lot more that I can share in person when I travel places and sit down and speak with people. But there's ways to give in there. There's ways to pray. We have a prayer journal that we send out to people. I have, spoken with many people who have spent time in prison inside Iran for their faith, and they've told me that when they were inside the prison, they could feel the prayers of the saints from around the world. So we really, really encourage people to not pray for the church in Iran, but to pray with the church in Iran. We want people to join us in prayer and recognize that these are our brothers and sisters as well.
Amen. Dave, any final thoughts that you want to share with everyone?
No, I think, and we talked a little bit about, you know, what this interview might look like. I think Joe and I, and I'm sure you and your audience, our desire was not to make much about either of our organizations, but to make much about Jesus Christ and mm-hmm. the joy it is to know him, to serve him, and to follow after him. And, you know, I think our hope was that this would be an encouragement to brothers and sisters and hopefully just be a good story to share and to be praying for us as we continue to go out and to go try to make much of his great name.
Well, guys, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for the work that you're doing for the kingdom and for everyone out there. It's truly appreciated, and look forward to maybe connecting in Charlotte at some point.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. God bless. That was Dave Urban, CEO of Missionary Athletes International, and Joe Connor, East Coast Regional Director of Elam Ministries. Great to hear their story and have them on the show. Thank you also to Auden Tate for being our guest this week. Big thanks to Doug Horton, our EVP of Business Operations, for all of his tremendous work. Huge thanks to Pastor Scott Foreman also for the excellent work he does on our website and podcast. And thank you to our producer, Ryan Lennox. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Remy and Kyle, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.